The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We have reached the second hour. Looking forward to chatting with David Hale from ESPN, covers college football and recently and often the ACC. David, the new changes are about to go into effect a year from now. It was announced yesterday. Good afternoon to you, and give us your thoughts after having spent time at the meetings recently, and this was certainly telegraphed. What do you make out of it all?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's funny because I have been around this league for the better part of the last decade, and we've had some version of this conversation every one of those years. That it has finally happened, I think, speaks to a couple of things. Number one, Jim Phillips has done a really great job at building some consensus and getting a lot of buy-in from some very disparate pieces in the ACC since he took over about a year and a half ago as commissioner. I think there were definitely some schools that were not necessarily thrilled with exactly how this was drawn up, would have preferred either the status quo or some other version of how things came out. But he got 14 different ADs to agree that, you know what, this is for the best for our league, and in turn then becomes the best for us. We'll buy in, even if it's not exactly what we would have drawn up ourselves. That's a huge step forward for a league that has had a lot of trouble with that in the past. The other thing is just that it's sort of the way that the wind is blowing right now in college football, and I think everybody is looking ahead to when we will get to playoff expansion, which is going to happen eventually in some form or another. And the question is no longer about how do we put our best team in a position to make the playoff, but how do we get two or three or four teams into the playoff? And I think the ACC has correctly decided that having their best teams play in an ACC championship game is the best way of doing that.
David, how do you come up with something like this? Because you need buy-in from everyone, and let's be honest, somebody's going to get screwed.
Yeah, and I mean, this in particular was a difficult process, not so much from like just arriving at the basic format, which I think was almost the easy part, not that anything necessarily was easy in this, but saying they were going to go to the 3-5-5 model, which means they'll have three permanent partners that each team will play every year, and then the other 10 will be split in a 5-5 split. You'll play home and home against five for 2 years, and then home and home against the other five the other 2 years. A big part of this was, hey, our players, if you're here for 4 years, you should get to visit every campus in the league. This has just sort of been a cost of expansion over the last decade or so that you end up with really weird things where, like, Pitt and Wake Forest, hadn't played until the ACC championship game last year. I think Wake and other teams have not played, and it's just a weird thing where you just have teams that don't really ever see each other, and then you have these games like Clemson and Syracuse that, frankly, I don't know anybody's really like clawing at the walls to get to see every year. It's just a thing that sort of happened by happenstance of expansion. And so what you ended up with was like, okay, we agree on the formula. Now what are the details? And that's always where the problem is going to be. And I think that's why this process took a little longer than maybe we would have thought when these discussions really first came to the forefront a few months back. You know, you run into some teams like North Carolina or NC State that have all these regional rivals. You know, North Carolina has had some great games against Virginia Tech. They play Virginia every year, and that goes back a long ways. Then you have the other schools in North Carolina. And so you could realistically say there's six teams UNC wants to play every year. On the other hand, you look at a team like Louisville, who has zero history in the league and really doesn't have any established rivals. So how do you find three for each team? I think that was where some horse trading came in at the end. There are still some weird aspects of it. Syracuse will play Florida State every year. Why? Your guess is as good as mine. But at the end of the day, you kind of had to fit a few square pegs into round holes just to make the whole thing work.
So, David, we know they're not a member in football, wink, wink, but how do you figure out the Notre Dame part of the schedule?
Well, and this has been, I think, a big part of why this has been challenging and these scheduling conversations have been challenging for the ACC. We've talked, and I know the SEC has had these conversations about, do you play eight, do you play nine? The Big Ten is sort of in that conversation from the other direction. And a problem with that is that for the ACC, you're playing every year five games against Notre Dame, and then you have, as the SEC does, these rivalry games intra-conference, so Georgia, Georgia Tech, and Florida, Florida State. How do you account for all of that? All of these schools, particularly the ones that have big fan bases and are really trying to play at a championship level, want to have seven home games for the financial impact of that. All of these things, I mean, you're talking about schools that are ostensibly in the same conference, moving in the same direction, but really have very different and divergent agendas in terms of, like, what makes the bottom line work for them, what keeps their coaches happy, what keeps their fans happy. And so I think it's sort of less about the who do you play aspect of it than the how many do you play. And I know there were some conversations about whether or not it's worth playing nine. I think those rivalry games and Notre Dame just made that too impossible of a task in the short term. Now, you know, as college football continues to evolve, and particularly the playoff continues to evolve, I wouldn't be surprised if we double back on some of those conversations. But as the SEC has seen, it's certainly not an easy bridge to cross.
David, I've asked you this before, and I don't mean to be beating a dead horse, but I will, because we like dead horses around here.
Why not?
I know there was the ACC meetings, there was a lot of conversation. This was a month ago or 2 months ago about the future. But it just seems like the ACC is stuck because they really can't, you know, they don't seem to be in an expansion mode. Their television contracts are set. They have a conference network that is there. And now it looks like the ACC is moving its headquarters, which I'll let you explain what that really is all about. Let me start there, because I read today that the state of North Carolina is giving incentive money for the ACC to move to Charlotte. Isn't the headquarters currently in North Carolina?
Paul, I'm going to have to check with my accountant on exactly how my tax dollars are being spent here. But yes, that's a little bit of a head scratcher there. Look, I know Jim Phillips has wanted to make the move for a number of reasons. One, for travel in and out of Greensboro is not ideal. And I think a big part of his agenda, and part of the success that they had with this scheduling move, is him being able to get out and see more people face to face and build relationships that, frankly, John Swofford really had let atrophy over the last decade or so. So that's part of it. Part of it is establishing the ACC in a city where they can kind of brand themselves together, you know, the home of the ACC. I don't know what that's worth, but, you know, I think you can make you can go back and ask Larry Scott sometimes how good it is to have a downtown office in a big city. You know, but I think a big part of this was there was an overwhelming perception among some member schools, Clemson, Florida State, and Miami, probably at the top of that list, that believed the ACC was too much about basketball, was effectively a basketball conference run by the triangle schools that had this little sort of cabal of an echo chamber in North Carolina, in Greensboro. And so the move was about, how do we sort of look like we are turning over a new leaf? And I don't know if moving an hour and a half down I-85 changes those dynamics very much, to be honest with you. But Charlotte always seemed like the obvious answer on this. Whether or not the state needed to chip in $15 million for it, once you start asking me about what happens in the North Carolina State House, this conversation could very easily go off the rails.
Well, okay, I was just curious. I could have sent you a text and probably gotten a quicker answer. But so back to the real problem, though, with the league. All the things I was saying before I detoured, trying to understand the state spending money on something they don't need to be spending money on. But what is the league do? I mean, other than the occasional national championship that Florida State or now Clemson can provide, you know, where does this league go to try to keep up with the two obvious behemoths in the room, the SEC and the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question because there's not an obvious answer. I think there's a lot of sort of pipe dream answers of, hey, let's get Notre Dame. If we could do that, maybe things will be different. And frankly, things would probably be a little different. But, A, I don't see any reason why Notre Dame would make that happen in the short term. And, B, as valuable as Notre Dame is as a commodity, it's still not big enough to change the numbers for a 15 or 16 team league that is getting their TV numbers, TV revenue numbers doubled by the SEC and Big Ten. I think there's a few things that can probably matter. One, and I think the absolute biggest one, is your good teams have to be good. I mean, we've seen Miami struggle essentially since the day they entered the ACC. I think there are hopes that that is starting to change with Mario Cristobal, but that would make a big difference if Miami is good on a national stage again. Florida State, since that national championship in 2013, has been all downhill, and that's a problem. Virginia Tech has been a historically good team that has been not that good for the better part of a decade. Louisville is a team where I think they thought they had a higher ceiling, and it really hasn't been there. They need the teams that can compete at a high level for playoff chances and 10 and 11 win seasons. They need those teams to do that consistently, because right now the value of the league, what they're making, is probably exactly what they deserve to be making, because it's Clemson and a whole bunch of and that's just not creating value for the TV networks. You know, I think if you want to figure out a way to make it sustainable, it's about appealing to those schools that do want to play at the highest level. I've heard ADs mention the idea of unequal revenue sharing. So if you're really trying to win at football and you're bringing in more football revenue, maybe you should be getting more out of it. And if Duke's not really going to try to win a national championship, then maybe they take a smaller slice of the pie. Some of those things could work, but they're double-edged swords too. And as the Big 12 saw, sometimes when you have an elephant in a room like Texas that's getting more money than everybody else, it creates a whole bunch of other problems. It's a Pandora's box. And so I don't think that's a move anybody wants to go to, but I think there is some, at least, discussion it could be a short-term fix.
Great stuff, as always. David Hale, nobody better talking about the ACC. We head to the break. We still have plenty of guests ahead, including a peek into the parade in Oxford. More of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, the Ring of Honor, we've had some adjustments on this, but this is how it stands today. It's always fluid until it's not. Bobby, Chris, I'm in. Jim from Crestwood, legend. Larry, Jerome, Shane, C from R, and Tammy. And a guy who could find his way in that Ring of Honor the way he's been going, and that is AC in New Jersey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call. How you guys going?
Hey there.
Sir, it's going to be my honor and privilege if I smash your losers to go all the way to the top. But the thing is, I'm not going to ask you or tell you to put me in there. It's up to you, man. I'm not like Jim from Tuscaloosa. Can you please put me in there? Can you please put me in there? Dude, I don't give a damn about it anyway. I like to have fun like the way I'm doing. Because I'm the tribal chief who's running this station with Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Matter of fact, Mr. Feinbaum, this is where you need my help a little bit, 1%. You got to put that 10-year-old Noah in there. He's a smart kid, man. Think about that, too. Remember that kid who met Nick Saban? He just, it was 3 weeks ago. Remember that Nick, Jim from Tuscaloosa took a shot at him? You should put that kid in there, too. I mean, they're deserving. And all the time I hear Jim, he built the show for 2 decades. Jim, it's because I let you build the show. You left the door wide open. I came in. I'm sitting on the throne. So why don't you come and get your throne, homie? Because I'm just sitting. I'm relaxing. Mr. Feinbaum, I'm sitting in the throne. The Jim bailed. And guess what I'm doing? I'm just sitting there. I'm relaxing. I'm chilling today. So, Mr. Feinbaum, do you think this man has what it takes to take over the throne from me? Do you think he has the balls to do it? Can this guy get out of his basement at least? Or probably have to give us the makeup the Kardashians stole from him. What do you think, Mr. Feinbaum? Do you think this guy has the balls to do it?
Well, he's proven his mettle in the past, but you know we're in a different age right now, AC. What do you think?
Well, what do I think? Remember you said last week, Dabo Sweeney is yesterday's news. Jim from Tuscaloosa, you are definitely yesterday's news. I am the news for today. I'm the news for tomorrow and the day after. Anyone's going to come. Because I'm present. I'm future. Because I'm running the station with Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Think about it. Feinbaum and AC. Or AC and Feinbaum. If you put Jim and Feinbaum, that's all news. No one got time for that. It's like a fire product, Jim. You are done. Out of here. I'm running this station. Get used to me, homie. So guess what, Jim? Next time you call in, acknowledge us as your tribal chief. As we're part of the island. Island of relevancy, Jim. Stay in your basement and just shut up. And if you appear, I don't mind smashing you every single day. And it's going to be a great cardio. I love me some cardio, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love you.
AC, thank you. I don't know what to do with the guy. Rarely have I been speechless, but I am there. Okay, let's get back to the calls here and check in with Tom, who is up next. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good, Tom. Thank you.
Who do you think is going to get the most money from the NIL on Alabama's defense?
Will Anderson.
Will Anderson. And why am I not on your Ring of Honor? I call you every day.
Well, Tom, I think you are very close to the Ring of Honor, so you keep making these great phone calls, and I think you are the next one on there. Jim is next.
Let me give you the history on that fool AC, that dumb, idiotic moron. You can't understand anything that moron says. Now, here's a fact, Paul. This is a fact. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, that moron came at me, not came at me, he was so infatuated, or whatever you want to call it, with me on the show, I guess because I'm the big dog, he thought, and he kept saying, do this, do that, wanted me to, you know, acknowledge him on the show, give him a shout out. I'm telling you the truth, Paul. And I just ignored the moron because you see what an idiot he is. You can't understand him. He just wanted attention, and he was, you know, I'm not trying to brag, but he kept saying, you're the best, you're the man. That's what he kept telling me, like Legend used to do. They all follow me like a little puppy dog, and you know that, Paul. I'm giving you the true facts. That dumb moron wanted me to, you know, put him on the shout out at him. I don't remember all the stuff. Just every day he was after me on Twitter. Please, Jim, please, blah, 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 please, blah, blah, blah. And I just started ignoring him. At first I tried to be nice to him. I don't like to be mean to anybody, Paul. But this guy was such an idiot. I said, like you did, you used to hang up on him for about a year and a half. You hung up on him after about 2 minutes. I guess the show's gotten so bad. I don't know why you take his calls now. Now you've got him escalating
you just said, the show is, we're hanging out right now by a thread.
I didn't think you'd stick that low, though, Paul, have this idiot.
Jim, have you ever run a failing business?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's not just me. We have Keith and Randy and Jamari and Brams and a lot of fine people that are in the control room. And, I mean, we don't want anyone else to know how bad things are, because if our bosses find out, they'll cancel us. So
wait a minute. Wait a minute, will you please? Wait a minute. I'm going to try to help you.
Okay.
If you don't know how bad that moron is for the show, Come on, Paul. This guy is horrible for the show.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So,
you know that.
Yeah. Jim, you are familiar with the phrase survival of the fittest?
Look, I know you're making a big joke out of all this, but I'm telling you what the guy, I gave you the
okay,
the
Jim,
truth
question to you. I've asked you this before, and you never want to answer this, but I'm throwing my lifeline out to you. What can we do to save this monstrosity here?
Best I can tell you, you can stop letting idiots like Legion go, woo, woo, woo. Oh, big black hat. You great, Paul. You love you. I love you, Paul. I love you. You're great. I love you, Paul. That's the extent of his calls every day. Okay. He brings me nothing.
Jim, if we cut him out and we cut AC out, who else? Will that help?
Unbelievably, would it help? Unbelievably.
Okay. Well.
And you got iMonkey, another dumbass that you got bad people.
Okay. Where'd he go? Okay. Apparently, he crossed the censor line and had to be let go. But I'm just a talk show host. I don't know anything about policy like that. We are coming back with much more right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
JK is up next as we roll on here. Hello, JK.
What's happening, Feinbaum?
We are doing wonderful. Thank you.
Man, hey, another call, another 4, 5, 6 minutes wasted on the usual predictable call by Jim. He calls people morons and idiots. I'm trying to figure out which part of that call was influenced by Jesus Christ, Reverend Jim. Every day, same thing, and as usual, I didn't hear not one word about sports. That's why you should put him in the back of the book, the last word in the book, be in. It's over for Jim. We're tired of hearing that same old garbage call in. You want to get on with another call and fuss back and forth and talk about nothing and never about sports. That's why he's old news. It's no news in my eyes because he never talks about sports. This is a sports show. Jim, I keep trying to tell him, but he won't listen, so... You know, tomorrow, the next day, we're here, Jim, call in and try to berate somebody else. And, you know, same old, same old.
Well, that's fair. JK, I appreciate you pointing out the obvious there.
Hey, Paul, what you should do is just write a book about Tammy and get all the callers to give their own input of her. I think it'll be a number one seller.
Well, that's what the goal is. So I will take your opinion. By the way, the next call, very special happy birthday to the man from Montgomery.
Happy birthday to me. Page 52, 53, 54, 55.
So what's what's a young man like you do on your birthday?
Oh, I got up and went to work. I just got home. I've been working all day. I've been working since 7 o'clock. Man, it's
You have to go in at 7? I thought everybody went in like at 2:45 in the afternoon.
No, not my job.
Oh, okay. I must be confusing you with somebody else.
I work for the people.
Okay.
you know, that's 23,741 days, including 16 days in leap years.
So
65 years old, Paul. That, well, I never had any dreams for 65 years old.
Well, I am glad you made it. It's a great age. Is there any, you got, I know you got grandchildren. Is there any celebration later tonight, or is you just going to take it easy?
Yeah, they all told me happy birthday, and we'll do something, I'm sure. You know, okay. That's just the way it is. You know, Paul, how about this War Damn Eagle? How about them Auburn Tigers? That's my sports call.
That's great.
How about them Auburn Tigers? They really, really going to be fast and strong. Now, I was listening to this caller you have that called and screamed, cussed you out the other day. Is he a dangerous man? He sounds like a dangerous man to me, Paul. I mean, he sounds like he could be a danger to the community and maybe to himself. Somebody needs to check on that guy because he's jealous of everybody else out there that calls you and talks to you. Now he's real jealous about AC because AC's fixing to pull him out by the throat out of your where you're sitting, and AC's trying to worm his. You know, AC ain't got the shoulders for you, Paul. Jim's got the shoulders for you. AC don't have much. He ain't got much going on right now. And maybe one day he can, but right now you're sitting on Jim's shoulders because Jim's toting you around everywhere you go. Jim depends on you. He loves you, and he's jealous of anybody that comes in and has a decent phone call and a conversation with you. Now, there was a guy yesterday called and said, I hate on Jim and hate Saban. I don't hate Jim, and I don't hate Saban. Paul, let me ask you a couple fair questions. Is Nick Saban the hot topic on this program?
He occasionally, yes.
No, he's probably the one coach you talk about more than any.
Well,
other coach
yeah,
in this
but that's just part of my contract.
Okay, and is Jim another hot topic on this program?
Yes, he is.
So I'm talking about the two current most hot topics on this program, outside of a few calls about morals, politics, medicines, and you know, social standings. So I'm on point with all my calls. I don't hate Jim. I take Jim out for a walk because this is the relationship Jim likes. Do you people hear Jim's calls? He's mad, disgruntled, he's dangerous. Somebody's got to go out there and take that fella out for a walk down the street and let him pee on other people's mailboxes. I do that for you. I give that time to the community so you don't have to do it. Now, as always, Paul, you have a great day.
Well, since his last call was cut off inadvertently, I do think it's only fair to let Jim back on and respond.
Well, I would guess so, because Jamari told me that I've heard DA. You know, stands. You know what DA stands for?
Yeah, but here, Jim. Here's the deal. There, it's not the same sensor every day. So I don't know. I don't know how to respond.
Well, that's all I can tell you, Paul. I mean, I had no warning about that was wrong, and that's just typical of the way I've been getting treated or mistreated on this show. But I'm gonna tell you something, Paul. You just had.
Well, yeah, I will tell you. This is. I'm not in management here. I'm just a wage employee. I didn't find it that offensive, but then again, I don't make that call either.
Well, he told me when I called back. He said, "Yeah, I'll let you back on because he said I made a judgment call. That's what he told me he did.
Well, it's
by
his,
cutting me off. Well,
it's his. I mean, he has the last. He is the controlling moral authority of this show.
Well, then, what can I say, Paul? But like I told him, I heard that before on the show. I had no idea that was not okay. And so he said, yeah. Well, see, how am I supposed to know all these things? I don't know. You change rules every day.
Well, you know one thing I don't like, Jim?
Let me continue with the most insidious, maniac, psychopathic, dumb. Well, I started to say it again.
Be careful.
It's so... What?
Yeah, I was just trying to say, don't say that again.
Well, I know, almost, but that fits that guy that you had on a while ago because he is an immoral, psychopathic heathen. Do you know what a heathen is, Paul? A heathen is a godless creature.
Right.
He's a godless creature.
And in your mind, he's a DA too.
Well, you said it, and you were right. You were totally right. But see, you know his game. His game has always been to mention me because he knows I'm a controversial person on the show that many don't like and many do like. And, of course,
Jim,
he knows my
Jim,
status
show. You understand Scripture, though, and some of the most disliked people in Scripture became those who are still being discussed today.
I understand what you're saying, Paul, but that doesn't make it right for them to be heathen. You know what I mean. In other words, he's a sorry human being. That's exactly what he is. Is that okay? Because that's a fact.
I've never object to somebody. If you he came after you, you have every right to come after him.
He's been coming after me, Paul. He's been abusing me, abusing my family. He talks about somebody being dangerous. That guy's dangerous. That guy with his mouth is just dangerous. He insults, he slanders. I've thought about it. I wish there could be a way to, legally I'm going to talk to some, I've been trying to talk to some people about him, but there's a legal way to handle him. I've been talking to people about it, but he's going to get his, and not for me. Judgment's going to fall on that guy, Paul. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I know what kind of guy he is, and judgment. I know the Bible, Paul. I know what it says. I think you know a little bit about it. It says judgment will fall on people like him. He's got a massive, if he knew what is ahead of him someday, when he faces his maker, I'm telling you, he would be scared out of his mind because he's going to be judged.
But Jim, as you said, I don't know as much as you do, but shouldn't we pray for his well-being as opposed
to? Well, you pray for him, Paul. I don't pray for people like him. I've got my faults too, Paul. I don't pray for heathens like that guy who's abused me the way he's done. No, I'm sorry. I think God understands that. Maybe one day I will. Not now. Not with that abusive, insidious, psychopathic. He's a fool, Paul. I can comfortably tell you without doubt, and I'm not being judged by, because you can call a fool contrary to what Miss Kay thinks. Kay was wrong. She might be a Christian, but she doesn't know the Bible. I know for a fact what it says. It says if you call a brother, and he's not my brother, Paul, you can bet on that. He's not your brother. He's not anybody's brother. The Bible says his father is the father of lies. That's the devil. That's what it says. Read in the eighth chapter of the Gospel of John. That's where it says he follows his father, the devil, who is the father of lies. That's what that guy is. Now, I'm sorry to get to preaching, but that guy is an insidious heathen monster, a psychopathic double-ass redneck. Is that okay. Right to say that?
That's Jim, we do need to head to the break here, but thank you very much for that call. We won't be here on July 4th, in case you were wondering, or maybe ever again. We're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We are glad you're with us, and let's continue with more phone calls. And Daryl is up next. Hey, Daryl.
So I'm in screaming that Auburn's going to be fast and strong, huh? I mean, and Jim's screaming Judgment Day. First, for our man, Auburn's a train wreck right now. You know what I mean? I would say if Brian Harsin had it to do all over again, I seriously doubt he would have accepted the head coaching position at Auburn, but we'll see how it ends up playing out. But that's just my opinion. As far as Judgment Day, I'm going to steal the Steven Tyler line where Steven Tyler said, you know, I hope I have as much fun in hell as I had getting there. You know what I mean? Paul,
I heard
you had the guy on talking about the ACC, talking about Miami and all that, you know, needing to come back to help college football, help the ACC and all that. It reminded me of Florida, because There was a time Florida was up there. But you know what? I think the Miami's problem is the same problem Florida has. First of all, they're in a state that also has Central Florida. You got Florida State. You got four schools in there, right? But here's the big problem, Paul. The big problem is ever since Mark Richt got to Georgia, we have raked the state of Florida in four-star and five-star talent. Big time. Like Carson Beck now. Aaron Murray. Like James Cook out of Miami, who Kirby recruited. I mean, I could go on and on with the four-star and five-stars that we have raked, continue to rake out of the state of Florida. That right there is one problem they got. Same issue for Tennessee. The reason Tennessee's been down ever since we stuck that hobnail in them is because they used to rake the state of Georgia in recruiting, like Jamal Lewis. Mark Richt put a stop to that. Kirby Smart's followed suit. They can't come in here no more and put all these four-stars and five-stars out of the state of Georgia. They're going to Georgia instead. That's why Tennessee has been as down as long as they have. As far as AC needs a little DC, Paul. I think what Jim was trying to say is you used to hang up on him, and now you're hung up on him. You know what I mean? And as far as the Ring of Honor,
well, that sounds like
really
a country song.
There should only be one caller in the Ring of Honor.
Okay, who's that?
Only one caller in the Ring of Honor. That's Jim from Crestwood, okay? And I'm going to pull the Garth Brooks, okay? I want my name to be excluded from the Ring of Honor because the real honor is not being a part of the Ring of Honor. See you, Paul.
I feel like I've been slapped silly. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Paul, you know, if you do a Ring of Honor, you're going to have to do a Wall of Shame also. This is not going to work without it.
We got that work. We got that coming up right on the other side of the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it better be a big wall too, because you're going to hang that sucker full. Hey, I just want to call and give you a hard time about cheerleader calling yesterday wanting to get a job as your hairstylist. I wear the same hairstyle that you do, and Ray Charles could do our hair, Paul. So
yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but I felt like she was. I felt violated after that call.
Yeah, I did too, for my lack of hair. But anyway, Jim, I usually don't pay much attention to Jim, but Jim's claiming he knows his Bible, this, that, and other. I'm no theologian, but he rarely turns the other cheek, does he, Paul?
Well, I am not going to get caught up in judging other people's knowledge of the Scriptures because I'm just a poor soul who struggles with
well, you're on your way out, Paul, and when the ACC moves their office next door to your studio, they're going to throw you a sweet NIL deal and have you on the ACC network. So
well, you know, it is making me a little nervous that the ACC is going to be we're going to be able to see right into their headquarters building.
Oh, they're going to pull you out of the transfer portal, Paul. They're going to have you on the ACC network. You're going to be talking Dabo Sweeney every day. It won't be no more Nick Saban.
You know, I just thinking about that, Bubba. The idea of welcome to the show. We have the Duke lacrosse coach on today.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to take Randy with you, though. You got to get him an NIL deal. You can't leave him behind.
Randy, what you don't know about Randy, he's not even here today, is he? Just to show you who Randy is, we had a function yesterday. What was it, thanking everybody for something? I don't know. Randy came in for a free lunch on his day off. I mean.
Hey, Randy's got it going on. He's got it figured
Randy
out.
Used to be, Randy spent 30 years working for one entity. So he's retired with a pension. He's younger than me. He doesn't need this job at all. I mean, most of us are here because we need to be here. Randy's here he wants to be here.
Randy just loves it, man.
This is change for Randy.
This is just all fun and games for Randy. He just hanging on every phone call.
Well, it is great to have you on another riveting call here as we close out the second hour of the show. We're coming right back.